Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy, and we're welcoming you right in here to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard tonight as we go into our new message that we're going to be giving you, and we ask you to stay tuned to the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that time is of the essence, meaning that we should use our time very wisely here upon our sojourning here upon the earth. We're here for a brief moment. The Bible says that a man that is born of a woman is born of a few days and full of trouble. Well, if that's the case, then we better prepare not only for the eating, drinking, and being merry, which most people want to live in total denial, if you will, of the times and the seasons of Revelation, but for those serious students who are involved in seeking their soul salvation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And how can you hear without a preacher, and how can he preach except he be sent? Well, we're sent to you this evening here on WNQM, 1300 AM on your radio dial. Don't want you to turn it, because we've got an exciting message, and it's concerning the lost foundations. You know, the Bible said that every man, woman, and child builds on a foundation. It also says for us to take heed how that we build. Well, if that's the case, then we'd better get down to the times of Revelation. We'd better also come into divine covenant Revelation. Now, most churchgoers will say that they believe the Bible. But the question is, what Bible? If they're pinned down to specific answers, they will discount the Old Testament about 90%. Now, let me repeat that. If people are pinned down to be specific, they will discount at least 90% of the Old Testament, claiming it's been fulfilled, or that's under the law, they say. They are skeptical of its history. They give no credence to its miracles. They know only utter confusion as it relates to its prophecies, and they reject its laws as being repudiated by the New Testament. For their beauty of language, they will accept part of the Psalms, those which are not controversial, which could not offend even the most wicked. But they reject all the others which sternly call for the Christian to be about his duties and to present himself unmovable, building on the foundation of hope and faith, believing the word from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation 22. Now, you know that these are called what we call, quote-unquote, New Testament Christians. Those who believe that God loves everybody, and everybody's going to be saved, and everybody is going to win in the end. But that's not true. If we challenge the New Testament, or we ask them to produce from it the basis of their faith, they will confidently assert several doctrines, but they'll be hard put to find the source in the New Testament. But when they were told that these are Christian, in fact, no one can find certain of these doctrines in the Bible. For the real author of a number of doctrines now being taught as Christian is not Matthew, nor John, nor Mark, nor Peter, nor Luke, nor Paul, but surprisingly, those atheists who are beginning to pass laws to make it a crime for us to even mention the name of our Savior or to confess a belief in God, even to say in the Pledge of Allegiance, we must now leave out those direct references to our Creator, and we Christians hunker down, keep voting for those who would stand idly by and let these things happen. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a race for sudden destruction. The Bible says that when they say peace, peace, and that's why they're asking you to drop your faith in a Creator. To not be offensive, because Christians should not be offensive. We shouldn't tell people that our God is a God of vengeance, that He will destroy all of those atheists and all of those that deny Him and all those that forsake Him for filthy lucre or for the power of enjoying the pleasures of this world. Don't be mistaken. Do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, the Bible says, that shall he also reap. People who have been misled into the belief that the New Testament repealed all of God's laws and nullified His promises and discarded His prophecies are really saying that the Old Testament is just the record of God's mistakes, which He finally had to abandon and make a fresh start on something that He was able to handle. But you can't find a religion on a God who was too mistaken to know that He was wrong or too weak to carry out His will. If that belief about the Old Testament were true, we would have no religion at all to base our foundation on. Since it is false, then it is time to get rid of all those concepts that the Old Testament, the God of vengeance, the God of war, and the God of retribution, meaning that whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap. You see, Christianity will no longer be exempt from the wrath of Almighty God. It'd be better for them to not to know the way than to stand idly by and let this judicial system and the ideal of the separation of church and state. We've been led to believe by the liberal left, and we have certainly been abandoned by the conservative right and ignored by the moderates in the middle of the road people as they bury their head in the sand of the times of change and let our nation become a nation run by atheists and those in the judicial system that have no fear of God or to abandon His laws. Christianity, ladies and gentlemen, is not something new, resting upon empty air without a foundation. It's based upon the solid bedrock of God's purpose before time began. Its foundations are Moses and Elijah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David, and Isaiah, and Ezekiel, and Daniel. In short, the Old Testament, as well as the New, is the rock foundation that we build on. Because We have lost these foundations that today many try to build the shaky structure of their belief on shifting sands of lukewarm and sandy foundations, find that they have built a juvenile, delinquent, and radical suicide of religious through interpretation of God's laws. Satan has moved in and destroyed first the home, then the church, and now the nation. The Bible said that the time will come that men will not endure sound doctrine. It's our duty as those who say that they love Christ to abandon the coexistence and the light and darkness having fellowship, and to bed up with the evil snakes on their terms dictated by the satanic cause by which we negotiate agreements to put all of civilization completely under the rule of these barbarians, these antichrists, these godless people, and outright savages to revelation of truth. If we don't, we're going to reap a disaster such as the world has never had. The Bible talks about that in the last days, many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing doctrines of devils and children of darkness, and the children of light love to have the easy, the non-resistant path of a coexistence. And the Bible says that light and darkness has no fellowship. You can't serve two masters, and you certainly cannot have the ability to drink both from the good water and the bitter water. We must decide whose side we're really on. What about the Bible? Should we just believe a New Testament version that Jesus loves us all, and that we're all God's people? Don't it say that the wicked will not stand before God? What happened to the wicked people of the earth? Oh, there is none. Wicked is a state of mind, Pastor Buddy. We don't have any wicked seed. Everybody is good. Everybody can be saved, and everybody can go to heaven if we only believe that Jesus loves everybody. Well, that ain't what the Bible says in John 5:39. This man they call Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and you don't have any." The best proof of the genuineness of the Old Testament and God's laws and God's wrath and God's retribution to them that break His laws, because the Bible says he that says he loves God and won't keep His commandments is a liar and the truth ain't in him. But when you bring up the Ten Commandments, we're told that we can't even hang them in our public places where people assemble to go about their governmental businesses because of the separation of church and state. Are we in a time, as we were built upon Christian fundamentals, the Bible laying on every judge's desk, the Bible being every lawmaker's guide and structure of thought, now has been replaced by the communist antichrist doctrine that we are the world and God loves everybody, the God of the earth, who has taught us to compromise and to rally around the flag of unity of God loves everyone, as opposed to that the Bible says God will come back in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not His gospel, and He will bring the wrath a fire upon the ungodly. You can't talk that in the churches anymore. It doesn't agree with the concepts of the Antichrist doctrine. How can we be Antichrist when we promote Christ? Well, we weaken him down. We take his authority away. We take his judgment away. We deny and hide and turn from his laws. And the Bible says to do so would be certainly a trip into hell. For they that forget the laws of God shall be turned into hell with all nations that forget God. O fools and slow of heart to believe. As he said in Luke 24, verses 25 through 27, that we should believe, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So he went right back to the time of the revelation of the great law of God, which has never been abandoned by God. It has never been disannulled by God. It's never been replaced by any New Testament. Matter of fact, the Bible says quite the opposite. In the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew, he said, "Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets, but I come to fulfill," meaning I come to perform that which was given to the prophets and Moses. "And blessed is he that teaches men to do so. For he that teaches man to break the laws of God shall be called the least when he's judged at the kingdom come, when we will give an account for every idle word that we speak." When Christ told his listeners to search the scriptures, he referred them to the Old Testament because there was no New Testament at that time, ladies and gentlemen. From the earliest book of the New Testament, which was written 7 years after his death, and the rest of it between 24 to 66 years later. So when he said search the scriptures, he was asking them to search the Old Testament for the revelation and covenant of God's laws, which will never be abandoned, which will never be forsaken, which will never be forgotten, which will be part of the process when the books are open. It's the 66 books. The 44 writers and 1,189 chapters of all God's wrath or all of God's love. You can't be on the side of the enemy and expect God's love. All of his enemies will be brought before him and they will be slain. Oh, you say, "Oh, Pastor Buddy, we just shouldn't call. Tell people these things." Glory to God. It causes people to have stress in this stressful society. So we should just bury our head like an ostrich and deny the wrath of God coming upon all the disobedient, the unthankful, and the unholy. We're now sanctioning in the churches mixed races, mixed marriages, even homosexuals being allowed to openly present themselves for marriage to one another, and the churches are beginning to give in on all these Antichrist laws to bring forth the age of love, forgetting the age of hate. And forgetting that God is a man of war and that God will bring wrath against all injustices, all sin, and all unrighteousness. And to the wicked there will be no peace, prosperity, or happiness for them that break his laws. For they that do so are ignorant and unlearned and led astray with the error of the wicked, joining and compromising those who will stand for nothing, that will fall for anything. Then we come to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, and because that thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Well, here we are, children, in the day that we have forgotten his laws. The knowledge that we have acquired is evil, compromising, not standing against the evil. You say, well, I still don't believe in sin and glory to God. I don't believe in stealing. But you permit those in society to do so without any vengeance, without any adhering to the law. And so we become a nation of prisoners locked up for crimes, mostly for drugs, and for the things that we're doing in a society that has got so liberal in its application that we have put into place of stern leadership from the home, broken homes, single parents, encouraged to go on welfare and to raise children to be rebels with no knowledge, and therefore we are destroyed. The time has come that the believer must not reject him by proclaiming that he was still waiting for a future coming. So these ordinances were not abolished. It is still just as true as it ever was. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy mind, and with all of thy strength, which is a reasonable service. Now, if you love the divine law, it covers all of the economics for prosperity, all the agricultural, the dietary laws for health, all the political laws for a worldwide power and respect in times of peace and for survival and victory in war, the laws for immigration and naturalization and for the selection of the leaders who are to govern us should all be based upon God's holy word. I'm not just talking about a portion of it or a seem right portion. I'm talking about all God's laws from beginning to end, both good and bad. You see, some laws are bad. If you break his laws, you shall be judged and found guilty of doing so. And if you say you love God and break his laws, you're a liar and the truth ain't in you. And there we are. Churches will take anybody in, anywhere, at any time, for the purpose of having respect of persons. Ladies and gentlemen, what are we going to do when the times of revelation and the times of trouble, such as the world has never seen, what are we going to do when those times come upon the world to try all of those who are involved in that time? Acts 17:24. God that made the world and all things therein, sin that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. He's in the heart of those that love him and those that will keep him and those that will honor him, saying in a loud voice in Revelation 14:7, fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of the river. Ladies and gentlemen, the day is a coming when the Bible said that they will pray. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there will be a prayer meeting worldwide. But it won't be for those who are living in the now. You see, we're running to and fro, seeking rest and finding none. We're doing more evil and more sin since the beginning of time. There's more perversion in the world. There's more rape. There's more prisoners. And there's more of the laws being broken. I'm talking about the laws of society. I'm not talking about the laws of Almighty God per se. Because the Bible said that man's mind will be continuously on evil, and when he comes back, they're going to pray for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. Does that sound like that God loves everybody? Does that sound like that we ought to have a sweet Jesus, I love you, and deny evil, and sit back and ignore it, and let them take God out of the schools, let them take prayer out of our schools, where we can't even say the Pledge of Allegiance because it contains the word God, our Creator? What are we going to do in that day when they pray for the rocks and the mountain? Why do they want the rocks and the mountain? Because they're going to be ashamed of their lifestyles. They're going to be ashamed of their adulteries. They're going to be ashamed of their fornication. They're going to be ashamed of their evilness, their drunkenness, and their perversions, their jokes, their filthy sins that they have done. They can no longer hide, and for fear they will pray for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them, to hide them from the face of Him that sits on the throne, who's coming back to judge the nations and the world and everything that is therein shall give an account, even for every idle word that they speak, and all of the blood that they have shed. Yes, there will be a time of vengeance of Almighty God upon the wicked and them that fail to obey, them that fail to come to the true revelation of the way into the kingdom principles of divine command and the structure of the divine order that God has placed in the hearts of them that love and serve Him. When they lift up His holy divine covenant name of Yahweh, they'll know that they're praying to a God who will judge without partiality. Your works will be laid right down before you, and you will be judged according to your works, as the Bible says. If you have kept the faith, if you have fought a good fight, if you have endeavored to serve Him, and if you have planted the seeds of joy and hardship, and testimony, you're hated for the truth, and cast out, and cast down, and forsaken. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, the Bible said you're not judged, or you're not saved by works. That doesn't have nothing to do with saying saved. You're saved by faith in someone that laid you out a plan. If you believe in the man, you better believe in the plan, because the man has got a plan. For them that say they love Him and won't keep His commandments, they're liars. And that's those who say that they're not saved by works and they don't have to do anything. That's the lazy man. That's the one that hid his talents. That's the one that sat on his fingers and chewed his fingernails and got all stressed out about having to stand up and do something for Yahweh and His laws and His just and His people, who should stand up in the evil age where that the devil and his angels and his people have taken over our society and are ruling from the top of the heap. And they will be turned into hell with all nations that forget God. All nations. Not just a few of them, but all of them. Everyone that forgets to keep His commandments. For everyone that turns away their ear from hearing the Word of God. Did you know that there's a famine in the land? Did you know that it's not for bread and water? That in the last days, the Bible says they will be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage as they were doing in the days of Noah. You know what they were doing in the days of Noah? They had become sexually perverse. Their marriage was against nature. just like we're doing today, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what they were doing in Sodom and Gomorrah? That was the days of perverted people and perverted minds. And the Bible says, therefore, God has turned them over to a reprobated mind to believe a lie. Do you believe that people can get so wicked and yet seem so good? These are the same ones that puts on a business suit and goes to work in the morning and commits all of the abominable things that I've talked about and wipes their mouth and say they've done no wrong because they've got a clean suit of clothes, well-groomed and well-manicured, every hair in place, the teeth shining like new money, and they look good, sound good, talk good, but they can't walk good. You think that God doesn't know the heart? And don't you know that the Bible says the famine will not be for bread or water, but for hearing the word of God? Do you know it's not the hearer that's just, it's the doer? So then, we find a minority group in the world that are doers versus a majority in the world that are hearers or say they belong to a church, but they live like the devil and they serve the devil and their works do follow after them and they shall be judged in that day as their works declare their purpose. Are you going to hear him say in that day, well done, my good and faithful servant, you've made faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy prepared to you from the foundation world. Are you going to hear him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. But you know what these people said? Well, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works? You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's not by works that seem right. It's not by man's conditions that we're to be judged by. You see, the world wants you to just love everybody. And God says, if you love the world and the things of the world, you don't have my love. So you can't serve two masters. You're going to have to come out of the world and love Yahweh or stay in the world and love the devil and his children along with the children of God. And I said, you cannot serve two masters. The same forces are in the world. They're always attacking everyone who opposes communism or atheism. The ACLU, the lawyers of the liberal right or left or the middle of the road, whatever the case may be, they will defend your case as long as you are Antichrist. They always make the same false accusations to defend you. When against Amos, they said, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear his words. And against the Messiah, they said, he stirreth up the people. Luke chapter 23, verse 5. Against all the patriots who would warn our nation before it's too late, they cry, rabble-rouser, fascist, racist, every man who says that our American Constitution has proven to be good and should not be changed is said to be extreme right-wing. Like they warned Amos to flee thy way into the land of Judah in the book of Amos chapter 7, although the Messiah had done miracles of good, yet we read that they begin to pray him to depart out of their borders, as it's recorded in Mark chapter 5, verse 17. You see, the world cannot stand righteous people that cry out against their evil works, although they pretend to be good. Today, they try every way to bring ruin upon all those who would speak the truth. The sad thing is that they're always able to get away and to get many thoughtless people to follow them and stupidly parrot their attacks against all true patriarchs and against those who would tell the truth of religious truth. It's nothing new, ladies and gentlemen. The old prophets were persecuted for righteousness' sake when they stood against the evil of the day and the kings of the land. And today it is no different, as we today are exposed when we cry out against those who would promote the ideal that we should take God out of the schools. We stand by as Christians and allow that under the guise of the separation of church and state. Then they come along and tell you that you must have an exempt number before you can give money to the church. You've got to have a 501(c)(3). Well, that's a violation of the same law that they tell you that you can't read the Pledge of Allegiance because it has the word God, yet they carry the money, the filthy lucre that they have. It is stamped right on "In God We Trust." How long is that going to be on your money, ladies and gentlemen? Well, they wouldn't dare tell you to do away with your money. They're not that bold, but the time will come that they'll probably do that and give you a credit card and charge you usury, which is against, again, God's laws. And truly, we're coming into what we call a new world order of thought, denouncing those who believe in the truth of Christ, those who still preach the wrath of God upon all unrighteousness. And as it was in the days of Amos, there is a famine for hearing the word, saith Yahweh. It is the quicksand of stupidity and ignorant imaginations when people consort to do away with God's Bible, God's laws, and God's wrath and God's judgment upon a people that is turned lukewarm. And remember what he said: "I will spew you out of my mouth." Ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing strange about our coming of the conditions and the events of the last few years of this age. We're just like they were in the days of Noah, where they were eating and drinking and being merry, closing their minds and their hearts and their consciousness, doing things that is not approved in biblical proportions, mistranslating and misinterpreting and following the path of the 501(c) crowd and the political parrots and the religious parrots of the day. We all love one another. God will not punish those who live outside of God's laws. God loves everybody. God will love everybody, irregardless of what your political persuasion is. If you're an atheist, that's okay. God still loves you. If you deny his laws, that's okay, for God still loves you. If you break his commandments, that's okay, because you don't have to keep them no way, because they've been done away with. And on and on and on, they tell us that there's no reason to fear God, that he's not going to end these good times, that we're going to keep on eating and drinking and being merry and no judgment. That's the same crowd that will fall on their face at his coming, that will pray for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. You're going to be looking awful silly to believe or to be following such a belief system as they promote. And if you're caught up with them in that, and you're eating and drinking with the ungodly, and you're making merry, then he's going to come back in flame and fire, and you're going to be hiding like they have, because your punishment will be greater than theirs, because it'd been better for you not to know the way than to not obey it and to walk upright and fear God and to keep his commandments and to be worthy of standing before him. Are you going to be embarrassed about your life your filth, your sin, your language, your cursing, your bitterness, your hatred, your adulteries, your fornication, your murders, your stealing, your thieving, your lying, your evil entreating. Well, you say, Pastor Buddy, I just serve a merciful God. Yes, he's merciful, but he's also going to exact out exactly what you deserve. Be not deceived again, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man has sowed in his life, he'll reap it in the end. And be not deceived. For as a tree falls, so shall it lie, and it will be raised to give an account for the deeds done in the body. No wonder that those who ran from him at his coming, no wonder they cried for the rocks and the mountains. No wonder that they feared for their very existence of continuation, because the time of their joy was going to be turned into sorrow. Their laughter and their mirth is going to be turned into sadness and tears. Their joy is going to be turned into pain. The Bible said they will gnaw their tongues with pain, and where they're going to be placed will be eternal darkness. You know what hell is? It's not a place of a roaring fire with a lot of light. It is absolutely the opposite. It is nothing but pitch black darkness with every evil, foul, ungodly, antichrist spirit bumping into each other, gnashing on each other with their teeth. How would you like to live an eternity in nothing but pure darkness, wandering forever lost, without a world, without end, with all of these bitter, evil, unclean, unholy, filthy, ungodly spirits with their gnashing of teeth? Were they burning themselves to be released from this prison of darkness and separation from the eternal out of God? Men's hearts will fail them for fear and expectation of those things which are coming upon this civilization, because the power that is shall be thrown down. The one that has made you live a wicked life, the one that has asked you to take away God's name, the one that has suggested that you do not have to keep his laws and his commandments. These are the filthy preachers that are preaching this ungodly sin when they proclaim nothing but love, that God loves everybody, and there will not be any punishment for those who break God's law. Ladies and gentlemen, in Luke chapter 21, verse 27, it reads as follows: "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory." A time when they shall pray to the rocks and the mountains. No weapons will prevent his coming. No powers, no tanks, no government, no soldiers, no fighting, no AK-47s, no bombs, no nuclear powers, no rockets will fire in that day. They will all melt at the presence and burn along with the wicked at the presence of the coming of God, who is coming in flame and fire. The fire is revelation. The fire is burning out everything that offends in his kingdom. Are you going to recognize your place today in this age? Are you going to go and get on your drugs that the system has made so easy for you to obtain? until you get hooked, and then you have to steal, kill, and destroy to keep up your filthy drug habit. You're not addicted to righteousness. You're not addicted to God. You're not addicted to His power and His presence and His name and His righteousness. You're addicted to the evil things. Your mind is constantly on getting another high to go up there in the little la-la land and to wander around in your spirit forever wanting another high. Everything you have ever dared to hope is included in this judgment. God is going to come back and crush the satanic world order. It's His pleasure to give the kingdom to those who have suffered, those who have promoted, those that have preached, those that have testified, those that have crossed and crisscrossed this nation or this earth to preach the wrath of God coming upon the end time generation. I welcome the day. Lift up your heads, for your redemption and your deliverance draweth nigh. The time is far spent. There's a time when the heavens shall open up, and then shall you see the appearing of the great and the mighty and the eternal God coming out of the heavens with power and great glory. All nations will mourn. Oh, that don't sound like God loves everybody when most of the nations will mourn at His presence. They're laughing now because He's not here. They're having the time of their life because He's not here to condemn and judge these things. And yet you're here to judge and condemn. And you're here to offer redemption and deliverance to them that would do such things, to turn from your filthy, sinful ways and to be saved and come out of her, my people. Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come that men will not endure sound doctrine, but they've heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears, and that lust after the things of the world, that condone all of unrighteous sins, never speaking evil of it. Oh, well, Pastor Buddy, I can't do nothing against all of these things that you're talking about, Glory. I'm just one person, and what can one person do? But as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith Yahweh. My spirit that is upon you, and my words that I put in your mouth, shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, for Yahweh from henceforth and forever. Isaiah 59, verse 21. Ladies and gentlemen, I know in whom I believe. I know that the time is now, and I know that Almighty God, I know that He's coming back to receive a people unto Himself. Well, this is Pastor Buddy, and you're listening to the Shepherd's Call. I'll see you in about 1 hour on WWCR 5070 at 8 o'clock Central. Well, that's Eastern Time, 7 o'clock Central. I'll see you on WWCR on the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. Until then, may the blessings be, and be ye also ready, for you know not in what hour that the Son of Man comes. May His blessings be upon you forevermore.
Heart full of two arms, two arms, two arms.